This is a Travel Channel podcast.
In a city where lives can change overnight, the bright lights, the beautiful girls, the glitz and glamour are just the backdrop to the thousands of very real human dramas playing out across town every night of the year. This weekend, amongst the 200,000 people taking their chances at the tables and machines, are five gamblers hoping their inside knowledge is going to give them an edge over the house. There's Amy and Randy Splain. With high-pressure sales jobs, Vegas is a distraction from work that sometimes pays high dividends.
They can't do this in South Florida. I made more now than I did today working.
Kim and Pete West are recent newlyweds who both have dreams of living the high life in Vegas without paying for it.
9.6 million. Oh, yeah. Baby.
I'd even take the baby.
Come baby to box. Papa.
And Thomas Webb, a man who's out to get as many freebies as he can before he loses his bankroll.
Is that smooth or what?
Oh, that was
boom, baby.
Good pickup. Their guide is Max Rubin, a man well-versed in getting more out of the casinos than he puts in.
And they've got some very good comps here. Extremely good. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't worry. We're still winning.
This town is built on come see me and enjoy the sights and sounds. Now, instead of being a period at that sentence, there should be a comma. And take back what you can if you know how to get it.
Last year alone, the casinos gave away $1 billion in complimentaries. That's free food, free drinks, free rooms, free limos, even free cash. Whatever it takes to keep you happy and playing. It's all there for the taking if you know how. And this weekend, our visitors will have an expert guide to give them that extra edge.
I teach people how to beat casinos without cheating or counting cards, essentially how they can take advantage of the systems that the casinos have in place in today's market.
Comps are the way the casinos make losing seem a little less painful by giving back some of your expected losses in the form of gifts and perks.
Whether you are a nickel player or you're betting $50,000 a hand, we're all high rollers in our own mind, and we bet enough to make us tingle, and when we lose, we want something back.
And for Max, the real secret to beating Las Vegas isn't about winning the games. It's about getting your hands on all the consolation prizes when you don't.
Yeah, you learn comps pretty quickly here. It's a good place. Best buffet in Las Vegas. Absolute best buffet in town. Oh, yeah, try it. It's good.
I was a dealer and a foreman and a pit boss and, you know, assistant casino manager, assistant general manager, and I understood the backside of the comp system, which had never been told to the public, and I also understood the front side where the players can actually play an advantage, and I just kind of combined the two things and said, you know, this is something the public would probably like to know.
And Max is the consummate master at getting the max.
I came to town at 18. I had $8 in my pocket, and I've done very, very well here. I've had a lot of ups and downs. I've had money and I've been broke, and you know, nothing much seemed to change either way. I was still who I was, and right now I'm doing pretty well, and hopefully I'm gonna hang on to it this time. I've lived this life and put on about 30 pounds living it too. There's a lot of free food right here.
Eager to test his theories, Max sets off in search of a full table. His aim is not necessarily to win, but at least break even and earn a room for the night.
Are we ready over there?
Okay. Are we ready? All ready.
Okay. West side, Eddie. 900.
I'm sorry. Okay, well, we'll do 9. I thought I handed you 1,000.
Max chooses to play blackjack because it is what he terms a beatable game. An expert player like Max can get the house edged down to 0 or even play to an advantage. But chance can take you in either direction and take you there fast.
When it goes bad, it just goes bad, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Max's ability to beat them has led casino bosses to refer to him as the devil. But tonight, the devil is down 450 in the first 10 minutes.
Eddie, I can sincerely say I hate you. Yeah, game's getting too fast here. Ah, of course. The old double down trap.
Comps are based on how long you play, as well as how much. Already down $900, Max has got to stay in the game in order to get anything back.
Well, we have a chance. Oh, it never changes, does it?
Playing the odds, Max gets a pair of fours and splits.
What's that?
Good luck.
Thanks.
He gets another four. He splits again.
An egregious error because I don't have... Okay, let's do that.
Then he doubles down.
I really want to win this hand.
The hand is worth over $600.
Ugh. I'm done. See ya.
Thanks. Better luck.
Take care. $1,300 later.
Kim and Pete West are big fans of Vegas. In fact, they were recently married here. But on this trip, they have a very different agenda. They want a taste of the high roller treatment, but if they want a shot at the high life, they're going to have to play some high stakes.
We have $5,000 that we're gonna play with. Well, he's gonna play with. Mm-hmm. We've never played with that kind of money before. We've made several trips out here with smaller bankrolls, and we've been saving up for the big one. But this is the big one. We're both pretty nervous about it.
Oh, yeah.
We've never had this kind of treatment before.
We're gonna be playing $50 plus a hand, which is a first for me, risking a fair amount of my hard-earned cash.
They've deposited enough money with a downtown casino to give them big player status. It's already earned them a limo ride from the airport before they've played a single hand.
Downtown, they're practically fist fighting for people's business. You know, so people like us, if you have a couple $1,000 you wanna play with, I guess this is a treatment you get. I guess it's gonna get better from here.
For Amy and Randy Splane, Vegas is simply their home away from home. Every couple of months, they take time out from their high-pressure sales jobs in Florida to indulge their passion for video poker. They always stay and play at the Orleans, a smaller casino off the Strip, where their gambling action guarantees them free meals and rooms. But on the last trip, that wasn't nearly enough to compensate for their losses.
That was our worst trip ever. But overall, we're still ahead, so.
That was very bad. We lost on that trip, but the benefits too, which kind of soothed out the pain of losing, was getting the dinners and certain perks out of the casino. So that, you know, takes the sting out of losing a little bit.
This time, they're counting on better fortunes.
I used to live here. I worked in the casinos. I was a dice dealer, and I worked at several different casinos in town.
Thomas Webb now works as a pit boss in California, but this weekend he's back in Vegas to try switching sides.
I'm usually behind the tables. Now I can get a chance to see how things work and click for the gambler who comes in with a certain amount of money, use the time they play and the amount they play with to get their room for free, to get their beverages, to get their food, and everything from limos to airplanes to whatever shows going on in town.
But before anyone puts their money on the line, there's an intensive training session with the comp master. Some of his tips turn out to be surprisingly simple.
Okay, well, welcome, guys.
The most important thing you can do as far as getting the best in comps is be nice. Nice people, happy people, people that establish relationships with bosses, they go back to the airport in limos. Jerks have trouble getting a cab. You bet big when the boss is watching, you bet small when he turns his back. That's real key. Anytime the boss comes by the game, bet more. Anytime the boss walks away, bet less. The real beauty is when the boss walks away, walk away, take a break. The boss takes a 15-minute break. As soon as he walks out, say, how long does that boss take a break? 15 minutes? I'll see you in about 15. Boom, you're gone. The meter is running. You are accumulating comps, and you're not even playing. That's one of the beauties of this. Every person that walks in a casino and pulls a handle should join a slot club because you're going to get something. Maybe a discount room 6 months from now, it may be a 2-for-1 buffet, maybe a free cocktail, might be a roll of nickels, might be a free hot dog, but when you join a slot club, you get something. So absolutely, everybody that gambles in a casino should be rated.
Vegas is a town that holds out so much prosperity for the taking, but she snatches it away in a frustratingly calm manner.
When you feel that adrenaline rush, get away from the game. If you feel yourself going on tilt, and by going on tilt means you start losing and you start getting angry. The first time you start getting angry when you're on a table, stop playing.
Back up.
That's how most people lose money, is they get angry, they start betting more than they should. And if you feel that happening, go have a drink, calm down, go to bed, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're killing me over here. You're killing me over here. You're making me hungry. I just need something to eat. What do you think?
Thomas's losing streak shows no signs of leaving him, but the casino offers to sweeten the pill a little by picking up the tab for his room and treating him to lunch. While Thomas takes a welcome breather from a relentless pounding at the tables, over at the Orleans, Amy and Randy are having better fortunes. It seems the more they play, the more they win.
Four tens.
All right. Four fours.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
This is our ninth four of a kind since yesterday.
I knew why you'd come.
With luck apparently on their side, Amy and Randy have decided they want a taste of the Vegas high life tonight. And of course, they're going to try and get it for free.
You're really not going to get nearly as much by going out to some of the new mega resorts like the Venetian, Paris. $5,000 player doesn't even qualify for a room now.
They've chosen to take their chances at the Aladdin. But to get the same kind of special treatment they're used to at the Orleans, Amy and Randy are going to have to put more of their money at stake. The perks are bigger here, but so are the risks.
Come on, we need a royal. Okay, Amy, one of us is going to hit. That elusive royal. Yes, flush. Keeps me quiet.
I might have to use some of your money, sister.
Yeah, we're going to sit that hit.
Their play soon attracts the attention of a host who's keen to get acquainted with the new players and show them some high-end hospitality, like the private lounge reserved for big players.
Only at the Aladdin you get this kind of treatment.
You don't have to lose to get comps, and after a well-earned break, they're back at the machines and back to winning.
You hit aces again?
Yes.
Yes.
They've actually earned about $110 in comps, which would be a complimentary room here, even on the weekends. But I personally feel that their play is strong enough to put them in what we call Resort Vista Suite, and you can overlook the Strip and the Bellagio fountains as you sit in the tub. So it's really a wonderful suite, and I think that's what they're interested in. So I would offer that to them for their next trip, complimentary.
Several hours later and several $1,000s up, they decide to quit while they're ahead.
Yes.
Good morning, how are you?
It's Sunday morning downtown, and time to check out of the Lady Luck. Kim and Pete have had the time of their lives, but they haven't had much sleep.
Oh, we're doing great. We haven't been asleep for more than like an hour and a half, but we had an absolute rocking and rolling night last night. What a night. It's been a weekend and a half. I cannot start to explain how good it's been. So now we're cashing out about $500 up. We've got t-shirts and denim shirts and everything. We've got a room upgrade, we've had food, we've had board, we've had wine, everything. It hasn't cost us 1 cent this weekend. We've made like $500, which is coming home in our pocket, and we've been treated like kings.
Amy and Randy are leaving the Orleans, and this time their trip has been much more successful.
We brought with us 3,000, and we're gonna take home almost 6,000. We had 34 of a kind since we've been here.
So we got a nice dinner out of our work at the Aladdin. And we also had a chance to get into a nice room, too, with the play we did yesterday.
At the Fiesta, Thomas is also getting ready to check out. And like Pete, he's feeling the common after effects of a big weekend in Vegas.
Considering I've been up all night, I'm doing pretty good. Usually you're in bed by 2 o'clock. I'm up throwing dice and playing blackjack till 6 in the morning. Just having a rip-roaring time, I tell you. I've not had this much fun in a long time.
Like most visitors to Vegas, Thomas will be leaving town with lighter pockets. Still, he doesn't feel like a loser.
Played about 1,200. Lost about 7. I got way over that in comps, though. Way over that in comps. I've been eating crab for 2 days. Crab, shrimp, cocktails, cigars. I don't think there's anything I left on the table.
And although he may be leaving behind a few dollars, he's taking back a valuable new lesson.
I wasn't really in tune to the compensation aspect of it. That is a whole new universe right there. And the average, I'd say 10 people coming in here would not know about that. It would plunk their money down and walk away. And they're walking away from free dinners.
In Las Vegas, Sometimes there really is such thing as a free lunch, if you're willing to take some risks.
The table games, you're supposed to lose a little bit, but over time, you're going to have big weekends. You're going to have where you win. You're going to have big weekends where you lose as well. But if you play enough, it's going to smooth out where it'll cost you for one of these weekends around $100 each time as you come to town. And you can pick up around $1,000 worth of freebies, so pretty good deal.
When everything rides on the flip of a card.
You got to act exactly like you would if, in fact, you had the best possible hand.
Raise it.
The game is poker. And nowhere are the stakes higher than in Las Vegas.
I play a lot of games. I always played a lot of games. It's always been my hobby, is playing games.
A former computer programmer turned pro gambler, Paul Phillips, is one of the new breed of poker players. A product of the high-tech boom of the 90s, Phillips left his internet career behind to tour the world in search of big money pots and a chance to include his name in a list of the world's best players.
I play poker. I play pretty much full-time, plus or minus. This particular game just has a beautiful combination of strategic elements and a metagame and tactical elements and math and then just the right mix of luck. So, you know, even if you make the wrong decision, you can, in fact, end up winning anyway. So it adds up very nicely.
Unlike other games in Vegas, poker players compete against each other, not the house. And the big money is in tournament play.
500? 500? 500? Done.
Today's competition is the Tournament of Champions. At stake, up to $300,000.
It's in the top five tournaments to win. It's pretty prestigious because it's multi-game and because it's a big field. That's it. You got it. Two kings. That's all I got. The average of this field is not that great. You have many players here who have basically no shot at all. Pure dead money. They've won some kind of small tournament, or you know, somehow they've scraped the money from their friends. Who knows? But they're playing, but they have no real shot.
Back in the hunt.
A few tables over, he's one of Paul's toughest challengers, Lane Flack.
Biggest tournament I've won paid 240-some thousand.
This hand, Lane is in a battle of nerves with another player at his table. After a dramatic series of raises between them, the pot hits several thousand dollars. The last of the shared cards, or the river card, is dealt, a nine of clubs. Lane has a flush, taking the hand and the cash.
See how easy that is? You just had one too many last time.
It's early in the tournament. And both Lane and Paul will need a lot more winning hands if both hope to make it to the final table of players. Already, though, Paul has a hand up on Lane. He knows his style of play intimately.
He definitely had a series of big tournament wins. Lane's image now is set in such a way that he can't make the moves he used to be able to make because everybody knows that he's making those kinds of moves. So he's going to have to adjust his game, possibly in a way that he hasn't yet, if he wants to keep that kind of success.
Lane makes his money playing poker full-time and is known in these circles for an unorthodox style of play.
Yeah, I had four to a straight, four to a flush, and two pair.
Extreme is the word for Lane. And I've seen him drink all night before like a major tournament, significant, a lot of money involved. Come, you know, drink all the way up till noon the next day, come down, sit down in that tournament, and then just destroy it, right? And he's so drunk he can barely sit up at the table, and it looked like he's, right, and there'll be a raise and a re-raise in front of him, and it'll look like he's, like, not even awake. It's always like, hey, Lane, it's your action. He goes, all in! And they all muck their hands. It's hilarious, right? And he turns over, deuce seven or something, and they're like, oh, you know, they play so bad against him. He induces lots of bad play on their part. And that strategy isn't always going to work, but when it works, it's impressive to watch.
Despite a few good hands, Lane has started losing in a room full of part-time poker players back at the Tournament of Champions. A few hours in, he's beginning to waver on a guarantee he made earlier.
I was getting nervous there when I give you the 80, 90% guarantee I'll be here the next day. I was dropping it down to like 30%. They'll win their share of pots, but they're eventually gonna go broke. You know, they handle their winning real well, but they're losing, they won't handle real well.
Although they call themselves professionals, their work environment is anything but corporate. And the hours are definitely not 9 to 5.
I mean, I've come to Vegas and went broke and slept in my truck, and then the next day won the tournament. So went from like zero to 80,000 in one day. You got to win one out of every 20 tournaments you play in order to stay above water. This tournament is set up where it's spread out over 3 days, so the stronger poker players will rise to the top in this tournament.
If you play badly, you just cannot get lucky enough to make the money. There isn't enough luck in the world if you're throwing money away when you shouldn't be, to beat out, 400 people.
I'm halfway through my chips, but you come back and you win one pot, because now the limits go up, so we're playing 100, 200, so you win one pot, the pot will be $2,000, you'll be at $5,000. You win two pots, you got more chips than anybody else at the table. So, anything can happen real quick.
I check.
Once again, Lane finds himself in a high-stakes dogfight.
I mean, I felt my hands shake, but only in very extreme situations. I'm surprised that I don't feel more fear, but I don't.
This time, he's holding an ace and a queen. Good enough for a major pot.
I don't know how much was in that pot. 450, 600, and...
Line them up, gentlemen.
750, probably won 1,000. I was pulled and...
Hey, I won a pot. Isn't it exciting? Let's see, I'm up to, I'm almost back to my start. I got 47.25, so I profited maybe 800-ish.
To be good at poker, you need to be good at identifying your opponent's tell, a gesture or facial expression that gives away crucial information.
If you want to see something interesting, watch the other players when the cards are coming down and watch what they're watching. Many people give away a lot, right? There are many subtle clues you can learn, and in particular, people will tell you when they're going to play their hand or not, and that's a ton of information. People give away so much with their body language. But most people are so focused on their own cards, they miss all this stuff. In Hold'em, when the flop comes down, when those three cards come down, good players aren't watching the flop come down, they're watching their opponent watch the flop. Because when he sees those three cards, he's going to give away something about his hand. I mean, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But you can see the flop anytime. It's going to be there for you. Generally, you want to watch him watch the flop and then kind of catch it on a sideways glance on your way back to looking at your chips. And then they have much tougher time getting anything out of you.
Meanwhile, a few tables over, the game is suddenly starting to unravel for Lane.
you're at the limit now. You're at the level where you can't. If you lose two hands, you're done. All right, unless we lose another pot.
By the time this tournament is over, even the fearless will walk out with shaken nerves and shattered confidence. For the past 5 hours, Paul Phillips has played an untold number of poker hands at the Tournament of Champions. So far, it's been a roller coaster ride that finds him, at the moment, at his lowest point in the game.
There's a couple of people that don't even know how to play some of the games, and they're winning the pots.
King's up. When did you have it? You river it?
I rivered it.
Yeah, I knew it.
No, it doesn't make any sense, but that's the way it goes.
Well, up until that pot right there, I couldn't lose. I had kings up on 4th Street, and he rivered aces up.
4 card. Flush. Straight flush.
But I still have a bunch more than I did last time you looked at me. What have I got here? 7,000. I just had 8,500 till that pot, though. I had the best hand till the river. I'd have like 11,000 now if I win. It's very nerve-wracking when you can't improve. Catch blank, 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 blank.
I had 3,000, now I got 2,000. If I win a pot, I'll be back at 3,000 for the third round. Anytime I sit down to play, I try to have a goal of what I'm shooting for or what I'm trying to win so that you know when to stop. That's one of the problems that a lot of poker players have, not knowing when to quit.
To a non-gambler, and even to a professional, watching money change hands at a poker table can be a dizzying, breathless experience.
When you're winning and losing $50,000 pots like some of these guys are on a daily basis, and you go out to a club or something, boy, those hundreds, they mean nothing. All right, people just fly through money. Some people are able to keep a real business-like attitude about it, but if you're, like, let's take Lane, for example. Lane being the kind of compulsive guy that he is, money is like water to that guy. And it literally means nothing to him. I think whether he is broke or has $10 million in hands, he's going to act the same way. He's just going to blow every dollar that he's got on him, having fun. It's an amazing thing to watch.
Tonight, the decision of when to quit is made for Lane. That's pretty brutal.
Nothing went my way. Every time I picked up a big hand, I got beat.
Before the first evening of the 3-day tournament is over, he's out of chips.
I didn't play bad at all. I got awful unlucky. But I'm surprised I held on to my chips as long as I did, the way I was getting beat. That's all right. I'll go on and play my side games and get some sleep.
A little later that night, Paul goes out too.
It's a total mystery.
The morning after, he has a chance to reflect on where he went wrong.
This woman on my left, who started out playing very well and then just got really wild, we end up in this stud hand, just the two of us, and I turn and I look at her, and I can see her trying really hard to control her breathing. And it's obvious she's weak. I know she's very weak. She probably can't even beat my fours. But like an idiot, I just call. If I raise the river, I win, and it was a huge pot, and then I have probably 14,000. I didn't realize till right afterward what the right play was. So that was definitely the critical moment. So it's nice when you can look back and the critical moment was a mistake that you made as opposed to the wrong card falling for your opponent, because at least you can say, okay, I can do better next time.